from sun to shore. Such a beautiful sight. A middle-aged man was walking in the water parallel to the beach. He appeared to be fully dressed in a black jacket with his trousers rolled up above the knees. He came from the second beach around the rocks and plodded through the shallow, rippling waves. The man seemed to be somewhat stooped, hands clasped behind his back. A man on a mission, perhaps?
This is the story of Peter Bergman, the Golden Man. Unidentified for 2,934 days.
On the 16th of June 2009, around 6:30 in the morning, there was a local man in Sligo, in Ross's Point, out walking on the beach with his dog and his son. And they found a male washed up on the rocks on what's known locally as the first beach at Ross's Point. Obviously, he made contact straight away with the guards. The first call came in around 6:40. Then around 5 to 10 minutes later, another call came in from another person that was walking on the beach. Obviously, they saw the same thing. The guards were on the scene at roughly 7 a.m. And when they arrived there, they found a male aged, well, according to their descriptions at the time, 55 to 60 years of age, lying face down on the rocks with a T-shirt, a pair of swimming togs, and unusually his underpants pulled up over his swimming togs. And obviously they just preserved the scene at that stage until we called in the crime scene examiners in the event that there was something of a suspicious nature around the deceased person. But obviously at that stage, scenes of crime attended the scene. We did the photographing, etc., on the location. And after we spoke with the coroner, the body was removed to Sligo Hospital for a post-mortem examination.
My name is Arthur Kinsella. We were walking down the slipway in Ross's Point, and I looked over to my right, and I saw that face down in the sand was what appeared to be the body of a man. So we looked closer at the body, and I went over to touch the ankle, and certainly the rigor mortis had set in, and the body felt ice or marble cold. But then before we left the scene, I asked Brian to say a little prayer with me, and he did. Just over to the right from where we stand now on this slipway down to the beach, the first beach in Ross's Point, and was about 150 metres over to the right, but in the sand and away from the rocks, and there was no signs or scratches of rocks or no footprints in the sand. It was all clear completely all around. Just one little the Lord's Prayer. It's just something we would do. Most people do that in, I suppose it brings calm to a situation when you are a bit stressed or a bit excited. A little prayer can calm things down. I would associate death with finality. I mean, if you come across in stark circumstances, it probably impacts upon you a little bit more. He seemed to be in a perfect swimming position, and he seemed to be very relaxed, and his face muscles and all were relaxed. So there was no stress about him that I could see anywhere.
He kept walking, his feet throwing up water at every step through the shallows, and when he reached the golden sunbeam, he stopped and hesitated, then took that next fateful step, and he too turned to gold, becoming part of this miracle of life. He stood there, a magnificent golden man, at one with nature.
But the death of Peter Bergman and the discovery of his body led to a much deeper mystery. There was no Peter Bergman, there was no family, and nothing to identify him.
I've been involved in quite a few strange deaths over the years, but none probably as strange as this one. This man, when obviously he was at the mortuary, his clothing was removed, and I suppose the first thing that we noticed was that the labels had been removed from all items of clothing that had been on him. which I suppose initially we thought somewhat strange. And then we commenced a search on the beach itself to see if we could recover any of the rest of his clothing. And those searches went on for, I'd say, possibly up to 2 weeks, because obviously there's the possibility of clothing or property being washed out to sea. We found items of clothing later that morning, not too far away from where the body had been washed up. But again, the tags were removed from each item of clothing.
Peter Bergman had travelled by bus from Derry to Sligo. He checked into the local Tower Hotel for the weekend, as receptionist Anne Connellan recalls.
So Peter arrived at the hotel and checked in as a walk-in, so whereby he came in and he gave his name, address, and paid for his room in cash to stay with us for a couple of nights. He was an elderly man. He was on his own, quiet, unassuming. And there wasn't a lot of interaction with him. He would have taken his key and paid and went to his room, and from then on he kind of was his own person for the weekend.
3 days later, he was dead.
He had two bags with him when he arrived. One was described as a laptop type bag, and the other one was a small black type case. Those he had coming in, they were never recovered. The cleaning staff in the hotel, they cleaned it each day. No items of property were ever recovered, either in the hotel, and despite searches around dustbins, charity shops, every conceivable place in and around Sligo, we could never recover any items of his personal property.
The other bag of interest to Gardaí was the purple bag, which Peter brought from the hotel every day. It left full and came back empty.
I would have seen him with the purple bag all weekend in and out, but again, it didn't really matter to me. You know, I didn't, there were so many guests around that weekend, but I suppose when it really came to light as we were going through the CCTV, this purple bag kept, was in every time that he left the hotel or came back, he had this purple bag with him. So I suppose that's when I really noticed that it was a lot of repetitive work with him over the weekend in and out with this purple bag. And again, you wouldn't really have noticed anything. It would have came back the same as it went out. But obviously he was getting rid of, it wasn't as heavy looking, and he was obviously getting rid of his personal belongings over the couple of days.
My wife and I had gone to park in the upper car park overlooking the second beach in Ross's Point. And it was just rather strange how deliberately the man was paddling in at the along, say in about a foot of, or two of the edge of the tide, and he was stepping quite deliberately right from right to left, going towards the yacht club there. And it was just kind of almost a surreal look appearing there in the sunlight and walking so deliberately. And we wondered, was it a bit strange, the manner in which he was doing it? But then we dismissed it as just somebody paddling there. And it was a kind of a natural thing to do too. But when we heard the story of his death, or his discovery of his body afterwards, we were quite astounded.
Kind of a frisson went up the back of my neck, you know, and we heard it then on the radio that they were looking for witnesses, and I said, ah, there was loads of people there that night. And then the following week it came on again looking for witnesses, and I said to Dermot, we better do something about this because we were there. So we phoned the Garda station and the detective came out and took our story. And when I told him that I had written this story, he said, oh, that was interesting. And so a couple of weeks after that, I met him. Yeah. And he said, you know that story that you wrote? Would you mind giving me a copy of that? Because if that man's family ever came looking for him, they'd love to have that story. So I thought it was a very human response from a nice man.
The cause of death was drowning. There wasn't a shadow of that, a doubt about that from the pathologist's perspective. However, he had a number of other extremely serious illnesses. The poor man had prostate cancer, he had coronary artery disease, a reduced liver, and he had also advanced cancer in one of his lungs. So he probably was of the impression, and probably quite rightly so, that his time on this land was limited. So again, speculation, I suppose, on my behalf, it's quite likely that he decided to end his own life in the manner that he did, but the cause of death was quite clearly determined as being drowning.
Peter Bergman, still unidentified, was buried in Sligo Cemetery 5 months later.
My name is Brian Scanlon, I'm the caretaker of Sligo Town Cemetery. Okay, we go up here now to this gentleman's grave. Over here, as you can see, it's marked by a simple wooden cross, and there's nothing else on it, and I don't think it was ever visited. I was here at the time of the funeral. I remember there was, I think there was 3 members of the Garda Síochána, Seamus Feely, the undertaker, myself, and the priest, and we were the only souls in attendance at the burial. It was a straightforward, simple ceremony that we always have, and the deck of the rosary was said, and that was it. And there was a small little white reed, I remember, which one of the Gardaí placed upon the green cover when the priest was finished. It's unusual in Ireland, I suppose, to see no member of the public at a funeral. If you leave out the guards, the undertaker and myself who works here, the priest, there was actually no one at the funeral. I have never seen anyone at it, and no one has inquired to me about where it is. It's sad. It's there, and I don't believe anyone will probably ever visit it. Maybe the people belong to him don't even know where he is. So that's what happens.
It was quite clear from a very early stage that he had gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that, I suppose, he wasn't identified by anybody. He even, when he booked into the hotel itself, he used a name, Peter Bergman. He gave an address in Austria, which we subsequently established through the Austrian police that no such address existed. We also provided them with the document that he signed on registration to determine if, we'd say, there was an address that may have resembled it or something that could have helped us, and they came back and were quite categoric in the sense that that address nor nothing similar to it existed in Austria. Peter Bergman, nobody by that name has ever applied for a passport in Germany, Austria or any of the countries in mainland Europe. Certainly nobody in Ireland has applied in that name. So he went to extraordinary lengths.
I suppose you're hoping that it was an accident or something, I suppose. But then when you hear, I suppose, when he went to so much detail to take off the tags of his clothes, that was frightening. And I suppose he was an elderly man. He was on his own. He had stayed with us for a couple of days. And then to hear this was sad, very sad. To me, I kind of think that he probably was just getting away from it all. That's just now looking back on things at the time. I wouldn't have had any opinion on it, but now looking back, I suppose he probably wanted to get away from it all. I suppose when he went to the extremes of taking the tags off his clothes and getting rid of everything personal, obviously he wanted out of this life, which is so sad. Like
the clothing, like we recovered obviously his clothing, his shoes, trousers, jacket, etc. The black leather jacket was a C&A brand, and that could be anywhere in Europe, but there were a packet of tissues that were unique to Germany and Austria. Now, obviously, we couldn't establish, a better connection than that. Beyond that fact, there was a reasonable sum of cash, blank sheets of paper in his property, which we subsequently sent for ESDA testing, where that identifies where there may be indentations or something that might shed some light. Again, we drew a blank. He had plasters for a cut on your hand or finger. They were made by a company called Hansaplast. And again, they're a German company. A lot of other things were there, but they were non-identifiable. There was soap from a hotel, which we could never identify. We certainly know that it wasn't from a hotel in Ireland, but beyond that, we couldn't establish it any further. So he did go to extraordinary lengths. There was no passport, there was no identification papers, nothing in any of the property that we recovered belonging to him on the beach.
The sky turned to fire. The sun, a dark, burning red now, was just visible over the mountain ridge. I was transfixed at this daily miracle, which goes mostly unnoticed every day of every year of every millennium.
When people die, they die.
But it's nice that the little memory he's left here in Sligo, people should sort of, if they can, find out more and help to establish where he's from, or to reunite him with his family somewhere. That would be a good thing, yeah. But I'd say he's safe in the arms of Jesus anyway. That's for sure. Yeah.
But somebody knows Peter Bergman, or whatever his name is, because he posted 8 letters from the local post office that weekend.
Yeah, that was on the Saturday. He went in and he bought 8 82-cent stamps. Now, 82-cent stamps would indicate or suggest that they could have been airmail at the time. So, obviously, we had to extend any inquiry we were doing to America and indeed further afield. We had him on the CCTV footage buying the 8 stamps, as I said, but he put them in his pocket and left. We didn't actually pick up on CCTV and posting letters, so we had to surmise that he did. So that, suppose, in itself drew a blank there, as well as everything else. Like, we checked airports, flights in and out, Northern Ireland, the UK, further afield. It's just incredible in this day and age that he was literally a ghost.
It's a very sad story. This man obviously wanted to disappear. It was very intriguing, and the answers aren't there really. Not yet, anyway.
Oh, fascinating, yeah. Just hopefully somebody might turn up someplace and get a proper burial.
You had the sense that he was a person alone in the world, and that I was probably the first person to see him from the time he passed from this world. But there again, I might have a little bit of spirituality about me.
It's one of those things that sort of niggle and are there in the back of your mind quite frequently. It'd be nice to retire, I suppose, and say, well, at least we identify the family or people belonging to that poor man. But certainly at the moment in time, that's not evident. Very, very sad that somebody died in such a lonely set of circumstances. Very sad case.
When the sun finally disappeared and the darker, muted colours of evening took over, I turned my attention back to the golden man, but he too had disappeared. I scanned up and down the beach, into the dunes, along the paths, but he was gone. The golden man was nowhere to be seen.